Go level check, bruh. Microphone on. Check one, two. Check one, two, bruh. No grilled cheese and bacon. Let's go.
Did you get me a toothpick?
Damn it.
A toothpick?
Crap, I'm sorry.
I asked you for a toothpick.
One toothpick. I'm sorry.
One lousy toothpick.
I got sidetracked. I had to order a grilled cheese with bacon. And it's pretty damn good this morning. No, no, dude, you gotta rewind that.
What is this, a luncheon club for you?
It is today, yeah. Today I did get a sandwich.
Fratelloni's Ace Hardware Store brings you rookies.
Guys, we can't leave
food
that in.
Noises.
No, we cannot leave that in.
Garage Logic Podcast number 28, October 22nd, 2018. The low temperature on this day in downtown GL was 20 degrees in 1936, and it was 81 degrees as recently as 1992.
Reavers, you know what you can do with your leaving
and
it
now,
in crap.
From the mayor's office, above the boathouse, on the east shore of Spoon Lake. It's Garage Logic.
Oh, we have any up here?
With Rookie on production, Chris Reavers, director of social media, John Hyde in the newsroom, and occasionally Kenny from the Krabby Coffee Shop. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Souchere.
Thank you, Tony Lee.
You want me to run down there right now and get one for you? What do you got, flaxseed in your teeth?
Reeves, is Rookie aware of what we're about to play? I really want to get right into this.
Oh, I have to show him because he was downstairs grabbing his
good,
grilled cheese.
Good, I'll set it up. The gubernatorial candidates in Florida are Ron DeSantis, the Republican, and Andrew Gillum, an African-American fellow, which I need to say because it becomes pertinent, is the Democratic candidate. And they could not be further apart. They're polar opposites on virtually everything. And Sanibel Jim, who's a faithful podcaster, is down on the island. And he sent me a clip that people in Florida have been watching. And I have to play it just to make sure I heard it right. It has to do with Gillum, who was the mayor of Tallahassee, associating himself with a group that is anti-police. I think I heard that correctly. Please play it.
Gillum. The Broward Sheriff's Deputies Association taking issue with his ties to the radical group Dream Defenders. He signed what's called their Freedom Pledge, which supports their...
Race for governor in Florida.
All right, well, moving on.
What happened?
The race for governor in Florida in a dead heat this morning, and local law enforcement has now come out against the Democrat candidate Andrew Gillum.
The Broward Sheriff's Deputies Association taking issue with his ties to the radical group Dream Defenders. He signed what's called their Freedom Pledge, which supports their anti-police freedom papers. In part, this is what it reads. Police were never meant to protect and serve me and you. Police and prisons, since their founding, have always been about safety for the haves while wreaking havoc for the have-nots. Police and prisons, they say, have no place in justice.
Here now to respond is president of the Broward Sheriff's Office Deputies Association, Jeff Bell. Jeff, tell us, what does it mean to you that Mayor Gillum signed this freedom pledge?
Well, it's what can you not say about this? From a law enforcement perspective, when you have a potential candidate for the next governor who's willing to sign a pledge with an anti-law enforcement, anti-government radical group such as the Dream Defenders, he's clearly sending a message to the voters before Election Day that he's willing to support, defend, and recognize radical groups like the Dream Defenders, and he supports radicalization over the rule of law in the state of Florida, and we just cannot afford that in the state.
Jeff, we see a lot of stuff on the show, but a pledge that says police and prisons, they have no place in justice. So it's one thing to play to left-wing base and the Dreamers. It's another thing to sign a pledge, and you want to be a governor of this state that says, I'm not in for my police or the folks that are manning our prisons. How has the left and a candidate like this gone so far?
Well, when you start digging into the background of candidates like Andrew Gillum, a lot of his experience comes from going to institutes like the Rockledge Institute out in Oakland, California, where they gain these radical ideas and come back to the local communities and start building up the ground-based support. And they try and get into the lower-income communities and spread the lies and the hate and create dissension between law enforcement and the public. And they even start it between the political parties as well. It's almost like a big game for them, but they don't realize that these are real lies. lives that are on the line.
Well, apparently, Jeff, the Gillum campaign has a different approach. We asked for a statement. They gave us one. They said the mayor has been a strong ally of law enforcement in Tallahassee, investing in additional officers to help reduce crime across the city. As Mayor Gillum has previously said, he will invest in community policing, smart justice, and strategies that work with communities to reduce crime.
Which is rich, because now we're hearing that, you know, the Tallahassee, the town that he's the mayor of, has the highest crime rate in the state of Florida and in that county. So how is that reconciled with the public? And from all where right. you are, that's, boots on ground, what are you hearing?
That's enough. That's enough.
What is smart justice?
Gillum obviously will have to talk out of both sides of his mouth. He'll have to obviously deny his affiliation with a group that would not.
Why would he sign up in the first place with them?
Well, I think I'm trying to get to that point. I would imagine he knows where his bread is buttered, and much of his constituents presumably adhere to such a radical belief that that law enforcement is categorically unfair, because we meaning Black Americans, have systemically or systematically been oppressed by it. And so that he'd have to sign that, because he's not going to say you're all wrong.
Right.
But then you take the average citizen of Florida, black or white, red, yellow, blue, I don't care, and they realize, wait a minute, this guy wants to be the governor, he wants to run the state, but he's aligned with a group that finds law enforcement so disagreeable that they would actually insist that it only exists for people, for the haves. I never intended to become that focused on the Florida governor's race, but that's astonishing. Now I got to keep my eye on it. They're at a dead heat.
And he is with which party?
Who?
Gillum.
He's a Democrat.
Okay. Doesn't he realize that the unions are not going to, the police unions, the peacekeepers unions, are not going to like that at all? And he's probably looking for their endorsement.
That was from what? One of the morning shows down there?
Probably, their local Good
News,
Morning,
yeah.
Tallahassee.
What was the name of that morning show? Rook, did you catch that?
No, that was the TV once. It wasn't the radio. Oh, they don't have the nicknames like Snap and Zip.
Squirrel and the Monkey. Mm-hmm. Well, that's some... this country's a bit divided, isn't it?
But the fact that that group can get that much publicity, or even the ear of someone running a gubernatorial candidate, I know they want to sign up and hitch their wagon to everybody they can, but that just seems like it would be so far-fetched.
They actually, it looks like from looking him up on, did you do any research on him, Joe?
Yes.
It seems like they have a lot of clout, which is surprising.
The group he signed up with?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we know when they started?
Yes, we do, actually. Of course, I've gotten rid of the page.
But that's okay.
A fella started them after the 2000 election, after the Bush-Gore election.
In anticipation that law enforcement was just going to be for a certain amount of people.
He says he wanted to do something to make a difference, because he thought nothing made a difference in that election. So.
Wow.
But they're selling the idea that if you get arrested, it's because of your skin color.
Yeah.
They're selling the idea that the judicial system is not for us. It's not for us. It was created for the man, to protect the man.
Isn't that funny? I've never been arrested, and not because of my skin color. I haven't done anything that I could have been arrested for.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, shotgun on what? And you're white.
Yeah.
What's up, Whitey?
I was a white guy. I had to go to jail.
Was that because you rolled the tire down the hill? Is that why you got arrested?
Yeah. That's
right. Judas Priest.
Yeah. And the phone
hung
words.
Up. Two words from
hey,
the
Dad,
old man.
I'm in the Fridley jail. Can you come and get me? Judas Priest, the phone slammed.
Click. How was the Fridley jail?
The drive home wasn't very good either.
Yeah. Oh, I bet not.
I bet you weren't telling him which way to go home.
Well,
huh?
I was in jail.
Take a left here. You got to go on the... Traffic's going to be busy, Dad, on the 61.
Steam just billowing out of his ears.
Well, it was a Sunday morning. And you know what else he did to humiliate me? Put on a suit and tie.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
Oh.
But the guy I was with had some previous experience with being in jail.
So he knew where
good
to
friend
go.
Of mine. Very good friend.
Okay.
And so he demanded a Sunday paper and the whole deal. He wanted food. Let's go here. You know, he...
Sounded like he was setting up shop at a
motel. And I'm thinking,
motel
I gotta call
home.
You're
just keeping your back up against the wall going, hey, I'm okay. Nothing going on
here. Okay, you two, you're coming with me. Ooh, didn't like that. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Right.
Lots to get to today. Lots to get to.
You cannot stop it. You just make a move.
We lost the great living American Earl Bakken, who founded Medtronic. Do you know where he invented his battery-operated pacemaker? Yes, you in the back. Yes.
Right where that picnic table was set up in the garage.
Right in the garage.
Yep.
He's from Columbia Heights. Studied at the U of M. Made medical history. That company now employs 89,000 people.
Yeah.
He died at his home in Hawaii. He founded Medtronic in 1949 with his brother-in-law. He led the company for 40 years until he retired as chairman in 89. He also has founded the Bakken Museum. I guess he was a notable collector of what? Books, I think, right? Mm. So that's a GLA, a great living American, right?
Hell yeah.
You'll learn more here by accident than elsewhere by design. Here's Joe Soucheray.
Thank you. I didn't mean to hit that.
Oh, I thought you were.
No. Stacy, the GL geologist, is weighing in, a 6.8 off Vancouver Island in Canada, and she notes that this is a large rumbler just off the coast.
That is the home of Al Shaver.
That's right.
They had a whole string of them. They had four different earthquakes.
That's right. Yeah. You think that's caused by the climate?
Did Earl cash in? He never really seemed like...
I don't think he missed any meals.
Oh. But he was not very flamboyant with his money. You didn't...
I have no idea. I've never met him. I didn't know him.
Okay. I'm sure he was a philanthropist of some
sort. I would imagine when it says he died at his home in Hawaii, that might have been one of a couple of homes he might have owned.
Little indications.
I would think, yeah. You know.
Well, good for him and his family.
Hawaii's a nice place. I've got to clear up something about the backyard.
That's an understatement.
Yeah. I got to clear up something about the backyard fires.
Yep.
Right.
Oh, you are getting...
I'm getting pretty hammered.
Yeah. I was going to say, the emailers are coming after you on this one.
Well, Julia writes, as a longtime GLer, I am continuing your neighborhood backyard fire pit discussion from Thursday's podcast. Joe questioned if he sounded like a euphorian when opposing fire pit fires in neighborhoods. Our big family lives in a beautiful neighborhood west of Lake Minnetonka. Although the large suburban lake is far from Spoon Lake, we are darn close to Garage Logic out here in Minnetrista. Down the dirt roads, dogs run free together, hobby farm, hen houses run amok, four-wheelers roar, and if we see coyotes, we shoot them. Out in our neck of the woods, GLers are far from tall buildings, and the government stays out of our lives unless the lefties come close to our borders. Those from Liberal Lakes feel the wrath of our small-town cops who run electric cars out of town. Our neighborhood grocery parking lot boasts pickup trucks and a CI girl minivan. And guess what, Joe? We enjoy backyard fires.
Ooh.
Smoke billows from several yards, and if an unsuspecting neighbor doesn't like it, they happily close their windows. Although far from your mayoral position, I must side with Rookie on this one. You, however, remain my favorite radio and now podcast mayor, now and forever, Julia. Boy, I'm really losing that battle, aren't I?
Well, it's just a matter of
personal preference. I guess I should. It does sound too euphorian on my part.
And by the way, not to mention, should you retract that, you're getting your staff in trouble.
Why?
Well, Friday, we all decided to take the day off, right?
We had maintenance, podcast maintenance.
We had stuff to do. Yeah, yeah. So Friday night, we're out in the backyard, and the neighbors are out there having their backyard fire, and we walked over, and David said, oh, is this okay?
Oh, yeah. I don't want to.
I said, hey, I didn't say that. That was Joe.
Really?
So thanks
really.
A lot.
Yeah, David.
Really?
It cost me three beers I had to share out of my garage fridge.
I apologize for that. I mean, you know, you're getting into your beer inventory. That's something
that's
else,
heavy.
Huh? When you're having when you're having libations and you're sitting around my backyard ring of fire, there is one job. And I think anytime Reavers is around a fire, it should be his only job as well. Do not fall in the fire.
Right.
That's the one job you have.
That's fire safety.
Don't fall in the fire.
Stay out of the fire.
Yes.
Are you implying that you have?
No, but I'm just saying, you know, sometimes people get up and they, you know, stumble a little bit, and it just, it always makes me nervous.
I gotta go to the bathroom.
Right, right. It's that way. It's not into the fire.
At some point, I think we probably all have, haven't we?
I have not. I'm going to.
Well, you don't like backyard fires, well, so you don't have them with any
frequency. That's just another reason for me not to like them. I don't want to fall in one.
I might fall into the fire.
I was not here for this.
Yeah, you fell headfirst into your recycling cart.
I did. Right. I've never fallen headfirst into my backyard fire, though. I've not done that.
Like the Wicked Witch. His Converse sneaks sticking out of the top.
That's true.
Here's a guy who says he's listening from the Bighorn Mountains while elk hunting, Mark Humphreys. And what he likes to do when he can get Patrick's voice on the podcast, he turns up the volume, and the elk have no choice but to run out and get shot. Good luck, as always. Thanks for a great way to share GL way out in Wyoming. So Pat's voice apparently is disturbing to what Pat would call the elk.
Elg.
Okay.
By the way, Bakken retired in 89 to a 9-acre estate in Hawaii. He called Bakken Hale, so I think he landed on his feet.
Well, I'm sure he did. He was a wealthy man. He created quite a company. I love, Patrick writes, I love your podcast when I'm driving home from work or just hanging around in my shop here in East Central Iowa. I lived in St. Paul for 47 years and listened to Joel, Rookie, and Royce from the beginning. I'd like to suggest a tagline for your new format. I tell my wife that listening to you clowns in the car is like I'm carpooling with the Garage Logic crew. Digital carpooling. That's who we're addressing.
Digital carpooling.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. I like that.
Digital carpoolers. Carpoolers. I'm going to write that down. Digital carpoolers. Hi, digital carpoolers.
Mm-hmm.
How are you? We have a John Height newscast today.
Uh-huh.
That's fantastic.
Johnny is in the house today.
That's fantastic. Corey writes, I listened to podcasts behind schedule, but you were talking about giving credit for assignments not turned in. My son is a teacher at a Catholic school here in the Phoenix area, and he caught two students cheating off one another's paper. He told them both they would receive a zero, and he walked away. A parent, who happens to be a good contributor to the school, complained, and he, meaning this Corey's son, was called into the office and was told, we don't give zeros, you need to give them each 50 minimum points.
That's
the failed academy, isn't it?
Joe,
I think you should relate the old tale of receiving the bottle of booze and the old man's reaction on Halloween many moons ago. I'm sure there are some listeners who have not heard it and would find it as amusing as I do. I never received whiskey, but I once came home with a small reusable container of what we think was spaghetti.
Nice.
Nobody said, I'll take that. Bert. Well, we'll tell that closer to Halloween.
I think
won't
so,
we?
Yeah, right. This is what we got. What's it, the 22nd? We still got several days left.
This is quite the big week, by the way, at RF Moeller Jewelry Stores, three of them.
Yeah.
Flagship at Ford in Cleveland and St. Paul, 50th in France and Edina, downtown Minneapolis and Gavaday. It's a great watch week, and we're talking RF Moeller carries the best watch brands in the industry, Rolex, Tudor, Tag Heuer, Swiss Army, Shinola, Raymond Weil. And you GLers, you get $250 off any watch, $500 or more, when you tell them that you're a GL podcast listener. Now, this Thursday, October 25th through Saturday, the annual watch show is at the Highland Park store. They'll centralize all their inventory at the Highland store, and another special bonus for GL podcast listeners, $100 off any Rolex overhaul. Three reasons to visit RF Moeller. They're bringing you this podcast. You can save $250 on any watch at $500 or more, and $100 off any Rolex overhaul. Thank you to
isn't it nice
RF Moeller Jewelers.
RF Moeller is kind of bringing back the art of, you know, so many people have cell phones that they don't keep a watch. But
you're
they're
not buying these watches to tell time.
That's right. I mean, they're bringing back the art of it's an accessory, and it's not just a time teller. It's a fashion
statement. But they're great. You're buying heirlooms. You're buying gifts to celebrate an accomplishment, whatever. You know the
drill. I got you.
I have a 22-year-old, as everybody knows, Dylan.
Yeah. Yeah.
He bought a watch on Saturday. I told him you'd be very proud of him.
I hope he mentioned that he was a GL podcast listener.
Did he also teach you how to shut down the volume on your laptop?
That might be mine, I think.
Here, I got you, Johnny.
I got it right here. There you go.
No, I think
you
got it. Are you sure?
Got it.
I thought it was.
Look, can I get back to?
Hello. Hello.
Okay, hang on. Phone going on here now.
Control room. Right now. People talking about cameras and stuff. We're doing the program.
John.
Yes.
What store did he go to?
He did not go to that store. He went to a store in our area, up in the Andover region.
Wait a minute.
Yes. Well,
wait a minute.
Check this out.
Check this out.
When's he going to return and go to Mueller?
Can I tell you, he may not have been aware of the deal that Mr. Mueller was passing along.
Well, that's a hell of a note for the ad, isn't it? Yeah, hey, the way you launched into it, John, you made it sound like, yeah, my kid couldn't wait to get into a Mueller store. I said, which store? And you said, oh, it's one up here, up on my area.
At that point, you just say, Gabby Day.
Report that.
Why not lie to me, John? Right.
That's a good point.
Just lie to me.
Yeah, I'll try it again.
I'll try it again. What store did he go to,
John? He went to the Gabby Day location.
More like it. Yeah. God, help me. When we come back, I don't know if I trust a word he's going to tell me now.
I wonder who his sponsor is.
Here's a man who spends hours in hardware stores sifting through the nuts and bolts of life. Joe Soucheray.
Here's John Hyde in the newsroom.
Thank you, Joe. Yesterday, or Sunday, as everybody knows, the Vikings played. They played at New Jersey's MetLife Stadium. Well, after the game, hot coals left by tailgaters damaged 7 vehicles.
What?
At the stadium parking lot. State trooper.
It's like that Allstate commercial with the mayhem guy.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
State Trooper Alejandro Goez told the Star-Ledger of Newark a driver parked in an area where tailgaters had dumped coals from a grill. Another vehicle parked over coals in another lot. Both cars caught fire, and the flames spread to 5 other vehicles. Nobody was injured. Strangely enough, Goez, the officer, says this is not the first time this has happened in the MetLife Stadium parking
lot. Don't they have, you know, a lot of times if you tailgate, there's the 55-gallon drum barrels that they say, dump your coals here so this doesn't happen. Maybe they're not that advanced.
Or maybe people just aren't smart enough
to dump
their
coals. Football guys tailgating? Yeah, it might be.
Maybe it was Adam Thielen's blazing trail in the field.
It's so hot.
All that hot fire.
Well, I'd like to hear some news.
Mankato State.
Sunday night, 5 Eyewitness News moderated debates for every major contest. A political contest coming up from governor to Senate to attorney general. The most tense exchanges happened between attorney general candidates Keith Ellison and Doug Wardlow. Allegations of domestic violence against Ellison were brought up during the debate just days before the current congressman won the nomination for attorney general. An ex-girlfriend came forward saying her relationship with Ellison was emotionally abusive and that there was an incident of physical violence. Ellison has denied the allegations. It remains a topic, though, at the forefront of the attorney general race. Ellison said, for example, President Trump has been credibly accused 19 times on one tape. In fact, he said no one can forget that particular occasion. Yep, the people who continue to weaponize this allegation against me have failed to mention that at all. Wardlow responded with, absolutely a legitimate issue for voters to consider. President Trump is not on the ballot here in Minnesota. Ellison is, and he wants to be our state's top cop, our state's top law enforcement official. There are serious and troubling allegations of domestic violence. Ellison fired back, mentioning the recording that captured Wardlow saying if he became Minnesota's next attorney general, he'd fire 42 Democratic attorneys right away and bring in Republican attorneys.
That's what they do.
Wardlow defended himself, saying when a new individual steps into the role, things have to be shaken up. Mm-hmm. The Minnesota Department of Transportation's massive reconstruction of 35W from downtown Minneapolis South to 43rd Street hit a milestone last week. It's now 30% complete.
Why
is that good news? Well, with that achievement, motorists will now regain a key access to downtown from 35W to 11th and Grand Streets. The ramp reopened 5 Monday morning, although it'll only be a single lane, not the 3 lanes that motorists enjoyed before the ramp closed in June.
You wait about 2 o'clock this afternoon. Well, wait, this is a podcast. Yeah. Monday afternoon's commute is going to be awful.
Okay.
Also reopening Monday, the ramp from westbound I-94 to southbound 35W, which has been closed for 10 days to allow MnDOT to prepare for a traffic switch. Motorists on southbound 35W have been shifted onto new concrete on the west side of the work zone. We'll pass under a new bridge near 24th Street. A member of the 15-man team suspected in the death of Jamal Khashoggi dressed up in Khashoggi's clothes and was captured on surveillance cameras around Istanbul on the day the journalist was killed, that coming from a senior Turkish official. Exclusive law enforcement surveillance footage, part of the Turkish government's investigation, appears to show a man leaving the consulate by the back door wearing Khashoggi's clothes, a fake beard, and glasses. The same man was seen in
like the Groucho beard, or so they took his clothes off and he wore his clothes as a disguise, or
correct, yeah, to make it
pretend
look like
it was Khashoggi.
Yeah, but it was, if you see the video, it's pretty clear it's, you know, Nazi. It's not. Okay. The guy has hair on top. Khashoggi had no hair.
Got it.
Same man was seen in Khashoggi's clothing, according to the Turkish case, at the city's world-famous Blue Mosque just hours after the journalist was last seen alive entering the consulate October 2nd. The man in the video, identified by officials as Mustafa El-Madani, allegedly part of what investigators have said was a hit squad sent to kill the journalists. Meanwhile, White House senior advisor Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law, said on Monday the U.S. is still in a fact-finding phase on the murder of Khashoggi. Asked about the credibility of a Saudi investigation of the killing, he said, quote, we're getting facts in from multiple places.
This is Vince Flynn stuff, isn't it?
And a lot of stuff going on that Vince would have been very helpful about.
Yeah, damn it.
White House National Security Advisor John Bolton Monday began 2 days of meetings with senior Russian officials following President Trump's weekend announcement of the U.S. withdrawal from a Cold War-era nuclear weapons treaty. The Moscow visit by Bolton was planned before the Saturday announcement by the president that the U.S. was ditching the three-decade-old Intermediate-Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, known as INF, a move Moscow already has denounced as dangerous. The treaty banning intermediate-range nuclear and conventional missiles was signed in 1987 by then-U.S. President Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev, the last Soviet leader, who on Sunday said dropping these agreements shows a lack of wisdom and is a mistake. Bolton arrived in Russia Sunday, is set to speak with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov.
Yeah, but Trump's insisting that they have broken the treaty.
Correct. Yes.
Well, Russia's comments are self-serving and deceitful.
We don't like deal.
What? Russia deceitful?
Yeah. We don't like what? Deal, so yeah. We'll try another.
Yeah.
But first, vodka.
Not a great living American, but how about a great living ally?
What's your kid pay for that watch?
Too much if it was at not the right place.
He paid about $420.
What a moron. He could have gone to Moeller and got $250 off.
It was a certain brand that he wanted.
Yeah.
Moeller can get it for you.
Oh, I'm sure he can.
I know that when John goes home tonight, he's going to talk to his son and say,
take it back.
Let's take it back, and we're going. This deal is going to be too good to be
plus,
true.
Plus, think of how much money he spent in gas driving there.
Yeah. Who's a great living ally?
Joachim Ronneberg. A Norwegian resistance fighter who sabotaged Nazi Germany's nuclear weapons ambitions during World War II has died at the age of 99. In 1943, he led a top-secret raid on a heavily guarded plant in Norway's southern region of Telemark. The operation was immortalized in the 1965 movie Heroes of Telemark, starring Kirk Douglas. Ronneberg later worked as a radio journalist and helped raise awareness of the dangers of war among the young. He told the BBC in 2013, he only realized the importance of the mission after the atomic bombs were dropped on Japan's Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945. He was born in 1919 in the town of Eidsland. Joachim Ronneberg fled Norway after the Nazis invaded in 1940. The 21-year-old escaped with 8 friends by boat to Scotland, but was determined to come back and fight.
Boy, these are dark and stormy nights, aren't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Germany at the time needed so-called heavy water with an extra atomic particle in its oxygen nucleus in its race against the Allies to produce an atomic bomb. Large amounts of heavy water, or deuterium oxide, was only made at the Norsk Hydro facility in Telemark.
Right over my head.
This made the largest hydroelectric plant of its type a target for the resistance. A team of 5 other commandos of Ronneberg blew the whole place up.
Oh, boy.
They parachuted onto a plateau, skied across the country.
Come on, this is James Bond
this is
stuff.
Nifty.
Descended into a ravine, crossed an icy river before using the railway line to get into the plant and set their explosives.
Wow.
He said at the time.
Which looked like what? What did the explosive they were dealing with describe what they looked like?
Large sticks of red dynamite.
Wrapped up, right?
Wrapped up.
With a huge wick.
Huge, really long wick. Yeah.
Ronneberg said at the time, a lot of them thought it was just going to be a one-way trip. They didn't think they'd make it out. But after the explosion, they escaped into Sweden by skiing 200 miles across Telemark.
Isn't that something? Oh.
Despite being chased by about 3,000 German soldiers.
Wow!
Ronneberg described it as...
This has to be a book, doesn't it?
Well, it was a movie.
But I'd rather read the book.
I would watch that movie.
Ronneberg described it as, quote, the best skiing weekend I ever had.
Wow.
Everything but the snow bunny, huh?
The operation, coupled with the U.S. air raids the following year, led the Germans to abandon those plans, later described as the most successful act of sabotage of World War II, the Rodenberg dying at the age of 99.
Boys, you're all aware of my theories regarding what's happening to professional football.
Sure.
Yes.
You're not going to believe what I've collected from over the weekend. The theory is coming closer to reality than ever before. Just hang on a moment.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and he feels fine. Joe Soucheray.
My off-stated theory on the NFL is that it's going to morph into a quasi-sport slash reality TV show. Mm-hmm. But then Reavers, offhandedly the other day, insisted that you, Reavers, you think it's happening more significantly in the NBA.
Yes.
Well, listen to this. You're all aware of LeBron James' debut, and a fight broke out in L.A., right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the fight included Anthony Kiedis, the lead singer
for
the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
The guy that always keeps his shirt off?
He got kicked out of the Staples Center after allegedly yelling profanities at Chris Paul as the Rockets point guard left the game.
I didn't know that.
The singer is also said to have flipped Paul the middle finger before he himself was escorted out. Following the game, Kiedis' bandmate Flea... What a world.
Yeah.
That band has never done a thing for me, by the way.
Oh, come on.
No, I've never been a Chili Peppers fan.
Interesting.
Are you, John?
I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Flea took to Instagram to weigh in on the events at the Lakers game last night with my dear brother. It got crazy, but man, I get so satisfied deeply drinking in the depth and beauty of the game. People operating at a high level in so many dimensions, cerebral, physical, spiritual, emotional, unspoken, and telepathic communication. I truly love basketball with all my heart, Flea said. Well, then you also had in the stands.
Yeah.
You had I got it here. Yeah. I saved all this stuff.
So there's a lot going on. This is again NBA, not the NFL.
That's right.
And we're your source for hardwood information.
Right. In the paint. This is called the in the paint section.
In the paint.
Okay. Where's the one on the gals?
I got it. Bucket. If you don't, Joe.
I want you to tell me that story.
Okay. After all this happened, after the Lakers were defeated by the Rockets. Paul apparently told teammates in the locker room someone close to Rondo made, quote, inappropriate comments to Paul's wife, Jada.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then Lauren Jones of the L.A. Sentinel reported Rondo's girlfriend was sitting behind Jada Paul and LeBron James' wife, Savannah, and Rondo's girlfriend shoved Jada Paul before security came and immediately broke the two up.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA announced, of course, Sunday that Paul will be suspended 2 games for his role in the altercation. Brandon Ingram given a 4-game suspension.
Somebody got disrespected.
No, they're starting to crack up. They're starting. Well, they're not. They're either starting to crack up, or this is all by design. What the hell is the Red Hot Chili Peppers doing in the middle of a fight on an NBA court?
They were disrespecting
fans.
Well, what the NBA needs to do is have that that hanging, like that drone cam that football has, and then just, you know, zone in on it and then watch the fight, and then people can be a sideshow.
Well, in order to afford good seats in a Lakers game, you have to have Red Hot Chili Peppers money. The only thing that would have made this better is if Jack Nicklaus was also involved in the fight somehow.
Jack Nicholson, maybe.
Oh, yeah, not the golfer.
He was there.
Sorry about that.
Okay, here it is. Here's
Jack
the report.
Golf.
According to multiple reports, the significant others of Chris Paul and Rajon Rondo also were involved in a physical altercation in the stands as the point guards feuded on the court. This is what I've been telling you.
Right.
The NFL is going to have a big busted women in the stands being competed for by rival linemen on the field.
With a spotlight on them.
Yeah.
What do you mean, gonna? That's already happening,
it's
sir.
Happening. Okay, well, you know what I'm saying.
I do know what you're saying. I'm picking up what you're throwing down.
Well, I'm saying that this is going to become the direction they're going to go. They're going to go into this reality TV form of entertainment where you're going to involve the gals in the stand. Here it is, right here. Chris Paul's wife and Rajon Rondo's girlfriend slugging it out in stands.
Well, that was the rumor that the Jimmy Butler and Kat feud was because of a female.
Okay.
Kat's girlfriend.
I meant to say... I meant to throw Jimmy Butler's behavior last week into this mix, where he prearranges for ESPN to be in town, and then he throws this incredible childish tirade on what was essentially what his first day of practice, and then the other night in Dallas. When did they play Dallas? Last night?
That was
Saturday night or last night?
I think it was Saturday night.
He didn't play.
Yeah.
He said he
was a rest game.
He was resting. Are you kidding me? What was it? Game two of the season?
Three.
Game three.
Yeah, he looked like he
was resting.
Yeah, a lot of the extracurriculars.
What is
took
going
a lot
on?
Of
them. It's rampant. It's rampant. Okay.
Well, to help your theory even more.
Yeah.
When Johnny read the tailgating story from yesterday's Vikings Jets game about the fires breaking out.
Yeah.
I just found the photo of one of the cars. Rook, look at this. The photo of one of the cars that was. Basically incinerated at the Vikings Jets game.
It looks like a shell. It looks like it when it's on the line at the auto place before they finish up. It's a shell.
Not only is this thing trending on social media right now, there are rival fans arguing on social media as to who started it.
Okay. That's me.
Let me get back to basketball.
Well, this is helping your theory.
No, I know.
Oh, okay.
But I think my theory gets some credibility with the likes of LeBron James, especially engineering his own move to L.A., where he'll now even be a bigger draw and center of attention than he ever has been. And so that explains, well, they've always had celebrities there, but now— You know, the red hot.
The Foo Fighters appearing at San Antonio versus, Cleveland.
No, it's just crazy. Now let's go to the NFL. Hmm. Panthers' Eric Reed angrily confronts the Eagles' Malcolm Jenkins before labeling him a sellout and a neo-colonialist. That's a pretty big word for anybody.
I was going to say for all of us.
For all of us. A neo-colonialist for not kneeling during the national anthem. I have a different version of this story that's easier to read. Okay. Two NFL players who have protested during the national anthem and seemed to be in each other's corners nearly came to blows Sunday before the game. Carolina Panthers defensive back Eric Reed, a former teammate of Colin Kaepernick, confronted Philadelphia Eagles player Malcolm Jenkins on the field near the Eagles logo. The exchange got heated and both players had to be separated. The bad blood between the two stems from Reed splitting from Jenkins. From Jenkins, the Players Coalition, after the organization sought to have the protest during the national anthem stopped if the NFL made donations to cause the group's supports. Jenkins' group and the NFL agreed to a deal in which the league would donate $90 million to organizations supported by the players. Okay. So these two split about that, I guess, and now they're fighting each other in the before the game.
In the big bowl. Well, it's another storyline.
The national anthem controversy, of course, started 2 years ago when Kaepernick began to kneel during the Star-Spangled Banner to protest what he believed were racial injustices being committed in the U.S. Thus, the Florida gubernatorial candidate, Andrew Gillum, finding it agreeable to align himself with an anti-law enforcement group. Right? We got to pay attention to that race. Kaepernick has remained unsigned. He filed a grievance against the NFL. Is he good enough to be playing?
Kaepernick?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
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 Well, he's probably got a case.
Well, what's not helping the league's case is watching teams like the Buffalo Bills rolling out Nathan Peterman and think those guys have no business being a starting quarterback, let alone even being on a roster.
Some of them don't deserve to be backups.
Yeah.
Like Peterman.
But there was an interesting theory put out there that, you know, because your shelf life in the league is so short that Kaepernick may have been offered something, you know, with a minimal contract, but he stands to gain so much more because he's not in the league. In other words, if he were to sign with someone, well, kind of loses all the steam out of his campaign.
Mm-hmm. Well, baseball seems remarkably free of this kind of drama, doesn't it?
Yeah, never really had.
And hockey seems remarkably free of drama. But both the NBA and the NFL are inundated with drama now.
Yeah,
off court, off field drama.
I guess you could not qualify. I guess the best the NHL could do would be to claim a Paulina Gretzky, but Wayne's, he's out of the picture.
What
so
do you mean?
Really,
what do you mean? Claim?
Well, her extracurricular stuff.
No, that's not even analogous. Hockey cannot come up with any drama to match what's taking place in NBA arenas or NFL stadiums. It just doesn't exist. Baseball's got serious problems, but that's different than the creation of drama. Mm. Baseball's got length of game problems, and that's pretty much their main problem.
No, well, they're also... I have argued with Royce about this for about 5 years now. The imbalance in baseball, I think, is what's the bigger issue. I mean, look at the World Series. You got the Dodgers and the Red Sox, two of the three highest payroll teams in baseball, and other teams just can't compete with them. That's baseball's big problem, too, with length of game, because I'm with you on that.
And I normally would not be a length of game opponent, because baseball, I appreciate the absence of a clock in baseball.
Timeless.
Terribly charming. But they're abusing it, in my estimation. The players are abusing that. What they're stepping out of the batter's box and their dramatic exhalations of breath before each pitch is thrown. It's almost like you can see them. Almost like you can see them trying to remember what their psychologist has told them.
Right.
Heights okay. Kids also without a clock, by the way. Hmm? Although you just bought a watch.
True.
Yeah, at the wrong place.
Full circle. Oh.
Who do the Vikings have next? Oh, a Sunday night game?
Against the New Orleans Saints, sir. Mm-hmm. That'll be a good
one. Do we still have a grudge against them? Are we still?
Well, I think the miracle finish last year.
They have a grudge against the Vikings, I think, don't they?
Okay.
After that.
I think we're even.
What game was that? The NFC Championship?
No, that was the divisional playoff.
Remember, the championship game was the one against the Eagles.
Oh, that Philly one.
Yeah, that was not.
That was ugly.
That one we try to forget.
How many cars did we burn after that thing?
All right, more to come in just a moment.